Yes, indeed. Here I am. It's my honor and privilege to be escorting you through the weekend and again filling in for George Norrie, who has a well-deserved night off. It's going to be a very interesting, for me, afternoon, and for most of you, the majority of you, night. Let me roll over very quickly once again. The webcam photo tonight is up at the top of the page, not on the side as it normally is, and it is my lifetime membership in Para, and it came along with the licensing, the reciprocal licensing for ham radio that I received here. So Art is now thinking about an antenna. And then below that, very, very, very important, really very important, another newspaper here in the Philippines has published that godforsaken hate letter that's been bouncing around the world for years, since it was authored by some total jerk who went to the UCSD campus in San Diego and sent it out in my name, according to the FBI. And so why any newspaper would just pluck something off the internet, do no checking whatsoever. I mean, you all can try it yourself. Put in the name Art Bell and hate letter or Philippine hate letter, and you'll immediately find out it's a hoax. And so that's the very least they could have done. But no, they just published it. And here I am in the Philippines. So, of course, that means, a lot of danger for my family here. And I hope you will take the opportunity to go down to the bottom of that letter, even if you don't read it all. It's pretty ugly. And render your comments to them. Give your comments to them. I'd surely appreciate that. Now, we've got open lines coming up. That means you can talk about anything you want. But I do want to suggest a topic. This has always been a favorite of mine. I mentioned a little while ago, H.F. Saint wrote a book called Memoirs of an Invisible Man. It's an old book. It turned into a movie with Chevy Chase and Daryl Hannah. Interesting movie with book in, like in so many cases, was so much better, but the movie was also good. Now, if you get a chance, read the book. It's an old book, but boy, is it engrossing. And it combines now with new technology that's causing me to ask the question that I will ask in a moment. Harry Potter and Captain Kirk would be proud. A team of American and British researchers has made a cloak of invisibility. Well, okay, it's not perfect yet, but it is a start, and it did a pretty good job of hiding a copper cylinder. Now listen, in this experiment, the scientists used microwaves to try and detect the cylinder. Like light and radar waves, microwaves bounce off things, making them visible and creating a shadow, though it has to be detected with instruments. If you can hide something from microwaves, you can hide it from radar, a possibility that will have the military frothing at the mouth. Cloaking differs from stealth technology, which doesn't make an aircraft invisible, but reduces the cross-section available to radar, making it very hard to track. Cloaking simply passes the radar or other waves around the object as if it weren't there, kind of like water flowing around a smooth rock in a stream. The new work points the way for an improved version, now listen very carefully, that could hide people and objects from visible light. Conceptually, the chance of adapting the concept to visible light is good, cloak designer David Schrigg said in a telephone interview, but researcher associate in Duke University's electrical and computer engineering added, from an engineering point of view, it is very challenging. Nevertheless, the cloaking of a cylinder from microwaves comes just 5 months after Schrigg and colleagues published their theory that it should be possible. So, real invisibility may be just around the corner. They may learn how to make human beings invisible. And, of course, that brings up the age-old question. If you were invisible, what would you do? What would you do? If you had the opportunity to become invisible, my goodness, there is just a whole line of things that you could do. I asked my, and by the way, I asked my wife what she'd do if she were invisible. And she said she'd follow me around, make sure I didn't get involved with another woman. She knows better than that, or ought to, but that's what she said. Anyway, I'm kind of curious what all of you would do, given the opportunity to become invisible. Nevertheless, your comments are not at all bound by that suggestion. It's just that here we have the finally, we have the real story, and I think invisibility is so cool. Would I do some of the things that probably would be thought of as no-nos? I've got to be honest, yes, I probably would. Would I sneak into a girl's dorm and girl watch? Maybe. And then there would be endless other things that one could do. Certainly one could become really rich. I mean, there would be endless opportunities in that area as well, and so many others. So I thought it'd make a great question for open lines. Otherwise, anything you want to talk about is certainly fair game. Now, you may or may not hear some banging going on. I live in a condominium unit, as you know, and while they don't bang on the weekends, they are working on a condominium unit above me. And should you hear any large bangs, that's where it comes from. They probably are doing flooring work above me, and so we'll just have to live with it if it happens. Anyway, there you have it. In a moment, we're back. It's open lines. Anything you want to talk about, fair game. This should be fun. A Friday night, Saturday morning across most of North America. And here we go. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
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 Is this Art Bell?
That would be me, yes.
Oh, wonderful. I have listened to you since 1991.
Okay, thank you.
And you saved my life by giving me something to listen to.
Well, how did I save your life? You were ill at the time, or what?
Yeah, I had heart problems and things. But
talk radio is absolutely wonderful. I mean, it just passes the hours on the highway. It gets you through an illness, instead of dwelling on what's wrong with you, you can sink your mind into what we're talking about. It's all true.
Yep. You pulled me out of some of the worst depression that a man could sink into. But one of the things I want to talk about is this global warming thing.
Yes.
Does anybody ever understand that when you have a stove, a wood stove, and you keep putting wood into it, it gets hotter?
I think most people kind of get that, yes.
Well, what about the sun? It gets more garbage thrown into it in this part of the galaxy.
What do you mean by garbage?
Well, it gets stuff that falls in there, you know, fuel. And it is.
Well, it's
true.
It's a constant nuclear fusion type reaction, so it doesn't really need a lot of fuel.
I know. My friend, what I'm trying to get at is I studied geology and paleontology and archaeology, and when I was a student in Pasadena, we went and studied the bristlecone pine tree. And we found a real interesting thing happen about the amount of sun absorption that they got. And there was a direct correlation.
And what was that interesting thing? A direct correlation between the amount of sun they get and?
There was more heat. They had more water. They grew bigger.
Yes.
They grew faster. And
right.
This stuff that Mr. What's his name, A.G. Gore, is running around saying, well, it's because of our SUVs that's causing all this global warming.
Oh, you mean alcohol? No. Huh?
It's all the garbage in the universe that's being funneled into the big stove, which is called the sun.
I see. All right. So this gentleman feels that the sun, like a wood stove, continually gobbling comets and other planetary debris, like a wood stove, is getting hotter and causing global warming. Well, that's a new one on me. But one never knows, I suppose. Let's go to the first-time caller line and say in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Ron, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Nice speaking with you. Earlier, I heard you speaking with the gentleman regarding nuclear power and whatnot. And,
yes.
I do work at a nuclear power station at Shippingport, one of the first in the world. And them domes are created to keep any damage done. If an aircraft was to plow into it, it would protect the containment area. The fuel, used fuel pool is where they store the fuel, you know, the used fuel rod. And the life expectancy of a nuclear power station of this particular is usually 40 years. However, we just replaced the three steam generators and the reactor head on a major overhaul here this last year. And the fuel pool eventually will get full to where they won't be able to store it no more.
Well, there's the problem. There's the problem, Ron. You see, they're all getting full. And
right. Well, my thought was they have these missiles that they send payloads up to space, and I can't see why they can't bundle them in that special epoxy that they used for, like, the Land Rover and all these other things, stick them in these spaceships and shoot them towards the sun.
Well, there's an obvious answer to that. The last caller had the answer to that. Then you would be stoking the wood stove, according to my last caller, and global warming would go berserk, Ron.
Well, no, because, like you say, the sun is actually nuclear fission, and all it would be doing would be disintegrating the uranium rods.
Well, that was my last caller, Ron. The real problem with that idea is that, of course, one in X number of launches blows up. And if you had this very poisonous plutonium that you were launching and it blew up, there would probably be, well, a problem when it blew up.
Well, they have this epoxy where they can actually encase it to where, if it was the drop, it wouldn't break. It's like, how can I explain? I don't know the term of it. But they can encapsulate it where it can't be damaged.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of dumping it in Yucca Mountain out in Washington.
No, that's Nevada.
You know, they can ship this, head it towards the sun. I mean, mm-hmm. It'll be many years before it ever would even reach there. But it would basically burn up before it even got there, okay. Which would reduce the nuclear waste in the world, because there's only so much room in this world that we live in. And mm-hmm. Once you use up the room for nuclear waste
storage.
Dump, mm-hmm. 10,000 years could go by and it would still be too radioactive to be worth anything.
Ron, even hundreds of thousands of years. No, I don't think that launching it to the sun is really a spiffy idea. It has been suggested before because, as Ron mentioned, the sun is, is a giant fusion process underway. So if you could safely get it to the sun, that would certainly make sense as a good idea. But we cannot safely get it to the sun, and launching it in a space vehicle is at best a risky idea, and at worst would produce absolutely catastrophic results for, you know, all of us when the launch failed. So I don't think that would be at the head of the list of things to do. Let's go to this wildcard line and say, hello there, Tom, in Tempe. You're on the air.
Oh, that's Tim, Art, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've listened to you for years. Thanks.
Sorry, Tim. I that was me, not the screener. Your name is indeed Tim.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I like to talk about the invisibility. And I believe that really the only way that we could get to terrorists and the Al-Qaeda where they live would be something like that. I mean, to find him and to do something about it, I believe that he is so protected that that would be the only way to really get in and get him. Don't you think?
Oh, my God, Tim, I forgot about this. Now, if we could become invisible, the terrorists could become invisible. And if you think we've got a problem now, imagine that. Oh, my God.
That'd be terrible.
It would. But, of course, the United States would be first to have invisible people, agents. And so you're right. We could get them.
Yeah, I think that'd work. And real quickly, what do you think of packet radio in for ham?
I think that it's been superseded by newer technologies. Packet is actually kind of slow. And if you look into it, there's all kinds of new things. In fact, there are new ones coming out every day, digital modes that are much, much faster than packet. So,
is it affordable?
Of course. Yes, of course.
Okay.
It's very affordable. I'm just saying that technology has marched forward. And there are new technologies that are really amazing, just amazing, that can be used by amateur radio or the military or anything else. And not to get too technical about it, but here's the deal. Some of these technologies are so good that if the signal received, in other words, if the signal coming out of your receiver is so low and so buried in the static and the mess that you cannot even hear it with the human ear, computers, on the other hand, can dig that signal out below the noise level and print a perfectly intelligible rendition of what was sent. It's amazing. East of the Rockies, without a lot of time here, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, this is John from Springfield, Illinois.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing? Why can't some of these remote viewers or psychics help you find this person that did this to you with, you know, that person had to brag to somebody or tell somebody that they did this to you?
And even if they didn't, why can't they help me?
You know, that newspaper printing that, if anybody does anything to you, they'll be just as complicit, they'll be complicit in the, you know, the phone, whatever they're trying to do to you.
Imagine how stupid that is to take something off the internet without checking, without doing any checking whatsoever, and just printing it, aside from the obvious issue of you know, the liability and the fact that I could own, don't want to own, but could own their newspaper if I wanted to sue them.
You could have a coast to coast most wanted and have people call in. But you know,
it is so unprofessional.
Yes, and you could write a book with the first time I heard Art Bell. You know, everybody has their own story. You know, the first time I heard you was probably in 1998, and somebody had called in and said the Mormons were aliens. And the thing I heard when I was going through the radio, you said, "Oh no, not the Mormons too." And that caught me from that line.
Well, they may be aliens.
They may be aliens.
No, the Mormons.
I would say, if you put that antenna on top of your roof, you're not going to get struck by lightning or anything. It's going to be like a big lightning rod.
It's interesting you should mention that. We're at the tail end here of the rainy season, and when I tell you that we've been getting smacked with lightning, boy, I'm telling you, we've really had some. So I've been very pleased that up until this point I have not had an antenna on the roof. But
see, you
now
that
I have,
you didn't get that weather in Nevada, did you? The typhoon, the earthquake.
Oh yes, we no. Well, we got plenty of lightning storms. No typhoons.
Okay,
the typhoon.
Art.
Oh man, was that scary? Okay,
thank
sir.
You,
thank you very much, and you have a good night. So that's west of the Rockies. Yes, the typhoon was quite an affair. If you can imagine, it was almost like a horror movie. The windows that we have, and they are particularly well-made, thick, typhoon-proof windows, and they were bending in, kind of like in a horror show. I almost felt like, and for a moment I did, I actually went up to the window and put my hand on it and pushed the other way. And in about 10 seconds, I decided, boy, is this stupid, because if this window shatters, I'm going to be in little pieces. From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell. Here I am indeed. Robert in Port Orchard, Washington says, hey, Art, why no webcam picture? There is a webcam picture. Would somebody confirm that for me, please? Up at the top of the website, and not the normal place. Because it'll pop up in the normal place tomorrow night, but tonight, because I'm filling in for George, it's up at the top of the website, the very top. So please let me know it is there. He says not. He goes on, if I were invisible, I'd head for the White House first, then set my sights toward Jodie Foster's hot tub. More in a moment. Well, all right, I'm getting some confirmation that indeed the webcam photograph is being seen. On the fourth wildcard line, John in Long Island, New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How are you? Just a couple of comments. First of all, being invisible, I'd have to hit the Playboy Mansion. You have to do that.
That's a worthwhile endeavor. I can see spending a little time there, sure.
And the other comment, I spoke to you once about a month or so ago. If you ever move back to the United States, move back to Long Island. Since you have a kid on the way, you got the best schooling, you got the best beaches, you got the best city in the world. You take a limo out to Manhattan, you take your wife to Tavern on the Green, she'll love it.
Yeah. Well, if we do get back to the United States, I will certainly show her around the United States, and that'll be one area we'll get to, and we'll see what she thinks of it.
Okay, good luck with your child.
Okay, thank you, buddy. Okay. And take care. Yeah, the Playboy Mansion. It'd be worth roaming around in there a little bit. I mean, you know, invisibility, there would be a fun side to it, wouldn't there? Haven't you ever thought about it, being invisible? The memoirs of an invisible man were very interesting in that his invisibility, for example, did not hide. When he would eat certain things, the food could be seen going down, you know, esophagus on down into the stomach where it mixed in some disagreeable kind of way and looked pretty bad until it was digested. That was one problem he had. Another was that when it would rain, it would indeed sort of show his invisibility or the outline of his person for a short time. And I can see that sort of thing happening. This is not just idle chat. We're talking about invisibility because scientists are actually very close to it. You can read the story, if you wish, on coasttocoastam.com. But what a mixed-up world it would be if invisibility actually came to pass. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello, Art.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Mr. Bill. Calling
Mr. Bill?
From Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
You're in the Philippines tonight. You're a long ways away from Tucson.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, Art, I know that from hearing from George, that you're going to be doing the Halloween show on Tuesday night?
Ghost to ghost.
Ghost to ghost.
Yes.
And I had to ask you, because you are halfway across the earth from where I'm at here in Arizona, mm-hmm. Do you see a phenomenon happening in the Philippines concerning Halloween? And the reason I ask that is because I took my daughter out to dinner the other night. We had a little simple Mexican meal. Mm-hmm. And we drove to all the neighborhoods here in southern Arizona. We took a 3.5-hour drive. And we noticed something that was I thought was phenomenal and kind of extraordinary. It seemed like neighborhood after neighborhood, house upon house, was decorated with extravagant lights and presentations. And you could tell these people had spent a lot of money presenting the spirit of Halloween. And we've never seen this in Tucson except for the time of the year, which is called Christmas, because mm-hmm. we have a special neighborhood here in town.
Well, are you sure they're not actually decorating for Christmas? They start that earlier and earlier now.
Right. Is the phenomenon in the Philippines, because I know that people around the world do celebrate Halloween, otherwise known as Samhain. Have you noticed anything extraordinary going on there? Because
no.
Here in Tucson, things are just We've never seen this before.
Well, maybe Tucson has turned to the dark side. So.
Well, that's why I was wondering, because, you know, you're on the other side of the earth, and I thought, well, this would be a great time to call Art. And I've talked to my brother in Apache Junction and also my sisters in Houston, and they've also noticed the same thing.
Maybe like in the Body Snatchers, you're one of the only ones not affected, but all of those around you have turned to the dark side. And if I were you, I wouldn't go to sleep.
Well, thanks, Art. I was hoping to get a little more of an in-depth question, but you know what? I'll take that.
I have no idea how to answer that. In our building, there's going to be a traditional Halloween celebration where the kids go from condo to condo in hopes of candy and or whatever else is available. However, I honestly don't know how Halloween is celebrated or not observed here in the Philippines. I will, during the next break, ask my wife, and we'll see what she has to say. First-time caller line? No, sorry. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Aloha, Art. This is Storm from the Kingdom of Hawaii, the place that now has a whole new meaning to the word rock and roll.
Yeah, we did some rocking and rolling ourselves here last night. On the 19th floor, a 5.6, 90 miles south of us, was a very, very...
disquieting?
Yeah, disquieting. That's a good word.
Well, see, the one we just had Sunday was the second one we've had in as many months. We had one almost a month, I mean, almost a day to the month of 3.1 off the southern tip here in Oahu. And that
do you worry at all that the one of the islands, if not more, could suddenly... Well, I don't know. Sink.
Highly unlikely, Art. These are more like sea mounds than anything else, gradually built up by volcanic activities. There's a five-mile stretch over on the Big Island by volcano, which is really in the danger of slipping, which I understand has happened quite a few times through the eons. But the possibility of the entire island dropping, not all that good. The volcanoes over here have a rather unusual characteristic to them. One is that the reason they don't go boom is because they have a low silicone content to the lava. That means there's no massive buildup of gas behind a crystallization in between eruptions.
Right.
Right. That's the reason they don't explode. As opposed.
All right. I listened to the a seismologist talking about this earthquake, and what they said was that it was the weight, that's the weight of the volcanoes on the earth beneath the ocean that caused that earthquake. And, you know, if you think darkly, well, you can imagine that the weight of the islands could suddenly sort of cause a breakdown below, and then...
Yeah, they were complaining. Actually, that was a very short story when it first happened, that they said that it was a slip of the tectonic plate that actually caused it, that it wasn't volcanic in nature. Not true. Not even close to being true.
You're telling me it was volcanic?
Oh, definitely volcanic.
That's a new one. I hadn't heard that.
Well, that's because, unlike the Ring of Fire, right, where the majority of the Earth volcanoes reside on the planet, right, those are all on fault lines. The volcanoes formed here is due to a thin spot in the crust. As each landmass slides across it, volcanoes...
That's my point. If it's a thin spot and it's because of the weight, now, where can I find out it's documented that it was volcanic in nature?
That would be Volcanic Natural Park over on the Big Island.
No, I mean, where is it written that they've discovered it was volcanic in nature, that earthquake?
Oh, actually, they're not admitting to that.
Oh, I see.
You see, if you...
So this is your theory.
Right, you have a danger of hurting the Torres Strait, because then it would be a greater possibility of one happening again soon, since we have the most active volcano on the planet.
People tend to forget about these things pretty quickly after they happen. For example, last night's earthquake here, again, we're on the 19th floor, so, you know, you really feel it. These buildings are designed to sway and be earthquake resistant. I almost said earthquake proof, but nothing is that. So earthquake resistant would be the appropriate way to put it, I suppose. Let's go here and say hi to Chris in Los Angeles. Hello.
Hello, Art. It's a privilege to be on with you. I am unaware if you have mentioned anything about the Crop Circle Conference that's taking place in November.
I have not.
There's some very interesting people that have been on your show who will be there, like Linda Howe and Russell Targ, and
I can well imagine. I think I've interviewed almost everybody who has anything to do with crop circles. What do you think crop circles are, sir? What is your theory?
Well, I still have an open mind to that question. I have a feeling that it, you know, if in the beginning of my thoughts, I believe that the UFOs were probably the answer. And now I'm thinking it could be possibly other levels of consciousness here on Earth.
Now I think you're correct. If I had to make a guess about what I thought it was, sir, I would say that I think that it's collective consciousness doing it. And as you well know, I have a great deal of faith in the fact that collective consciousness is a real power. Consciousness, even as a singularity, is a real power. And when multitudes or millions of minds are working on something, I think that it's a gigantic power, one not to be tampered with. You know my view on that. But it's entirely possible that that's where they're coming from. Us, the monster from the id, as it were. Okay, let's try wild card line 3. You're on the air. That would be Tony in L.A.
Art Bell, boy, do I have a ghost story for you. Are you ready for this one?
Well, we're close enough to Halloween, so why not?
Okay. Art, my great-grandfather came to Los Angeles in 1866, and in 1882, he built a building that is in Little Tokyo. I don't know if you've been to L.A., but I'm actually one block from Parker Center, and I'm two blocks from L.A. City Hall.
Of course I've been there, yes.
I still own the building. It's a National Historic Landmark building. And with my 17-year, we'll put it mildly, very rocky marriage, I've lived in the upstairs of this building for 11 years, which used to be a dance hall. 4 years, Art, and I'm a retired police officer now, as a matter of fact. 4 years, people have said, aren't you afraid of being in that haunted building? And I said, yeah, blow it. I'm not listening to you. There's no haunting. It's, you know, if it was, it would be my family. Let me cut to the chase. I had a tenant downstairs that was there with a video store for 16 years. And they had the largest collection of adult Asian videos in the city of L.A. Now, before every caller now starts calling in and jumping on me, oh, the policeman's selling porn. I'm the landlord, okay? What they do, it's legal. It's on them, not on me.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids that worked there were actually like these Japanese national, like rock and roller kids. And I truly believe that they were on drugs. And anyway, they used to say the same thing as the building haunted. That, and I was like, okay, yeah, I don't want to hear it. I evict them. The guy that owned it goes bad. I evict him. He runs back to Japan, everything else. I'm stuck with all this porn. I start cleaning the place out. I'm sitting there 5-6 o'clock in the morning cleaning it out. Some girl in the community says, let's just sell it $1 a video. So I start selling it.
Oh.
I have never had a problem in this building in my life. I feel very warm, very centered in the building. I mean, I'm like a trendsetter in loft living, if you follow me with that. I mean, it's a big deal in L.A. now. Well, I was doing it 11 years ago. Art, I'm in the building, and all of a sudden, I mean, when I'm selling these videos $1 a piece, and this is the truth, and I have work vice, every sick idiot in the world starts showing up, and they want to take the video boxes to go to the bathroom, if you're following me. And that's when stuff started happening. The electricity stops working in the building. I mean, the block is live, but you turn lights on and they turn themselves off. Art, I'm wandering around the back of the building, which used to be my great-grandfather's blacksmith shop, and somebody smacks me in the back of the head, except there's nobody in the building except me. This stuff starts. So I'm trying to go through this very quickly. I then start getting contacted by people in the community saying, well, yeah, people stopped going to the building because there was this very, very old man and very, very old woman that would stand in the corners in the adult sections and stare at them. And I thought, oh, boy, this isn't good. Make a long story short, you had a guest by the name of Dr. Larry Muntz, and I actually dealt with that in 1997. The guy from Ghost Expeditions?
Yes.
I actually had dealt with Dr. Larry Muntz, this is no joke, it can be confirmed, about a Los Angeles police station that was haunted. We were having some problems in the station, and I'm not going to go into it. Dr. Muntz had come in and run his tests and brought in his people and everything else, and the site of this actual station, the city got the property because an old woman had been raped and murdered on the location. I mean, that's legitimate. It's not just a made-up story. It's the truth. And there were some other things going on there, and Dr. Muntz dealt with it. So I called Dr. Larry Muntz in, and he starts looking into everything. And he even said, you know, that this building is haunted, but the strange thing was, and you'll love this story, it's haunted basically by my relatives. And he said it's the most friendly haunting that he's ever met, because I'm going to tell you, when one of my family members, they're thinking it's my great-grandmother. And again, I don't believe in ghosts, but I know what was going on and what's been happening in the building. It's a very warm, friendly feeling. Even to this day right now, after everything that went on, I'm not scared. Even when I got smacked, I wasn't scared.
Well, what do you mean you don't believe in ghosts?
Art, okay, my family on my dad's side are Jewish. My mother's side were Christians. I'm a graduate of Pepperdine University. I even went back 8 years ago to learn Hebrew to a Bible college here in L.A.
All fine, but you've been through this, you've experienced it. How can you not believe in that which you have actually experienced?
I'm using the word ghost very loosely because I don't know what other word to use. The place obviously is, quote, haunted, because I have a lack of better words. I believe that there's energy, I believe that there's a family, and after listening to you for like 20 years, if you're a cop and sitting in a police car, you know, writing reports and stuff, you've listened to Art Bell, and I've heard all the people saying when they go to die, their family members show up, and then that is the only thing that probably scared me, thinking, why would my great-grandmother be hanging around? Maybe I'm getting ready to go, if you follow
I do. All right. Well, thank you, Tony. So there you have it, an ex-cop. I mean, look, I hit him with that because after you've actually experienced, it's kind of like UFOs. If you've seen something directly above your head so close you could throw a rock at it, how can you not believe in what you've seen with your own eyes? East of the Rockies, not a lot of time, but you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, hello.
Hey, yeah, I'm very glad to be on right now, man. I'm a huge fan of yours. I listen every weekend. I've got a story similar to the last caller, but it's about ghosts. But I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called the doppelganger phenomenon.
Oh well, I know what that is. What it's your own experience?
Yeah. See, it's been happening a lot lately to me, and I don't know.
Okay, very quickly, tell me, explain.
Yeah. See, this morning I was brushing my teeth, and I looked over, and at the corner of my eye, peripheral vision, I saw myself. It was like a dark, I don't know, it disappeared very quickly, but it was like a dark version of myself.
Oh, that is weird.
I've been seeing it a lot lately. I don't know what causes it. Just like I'll wake up, and look in the mirror, and be right behind me, you know.
A version of yourself. I kind of like that.
It's pretty scary. I don't know.
Well, it is kind of scary, and I wonder if it means, if it's kind of a warning to you that something or another is about to happen, as though your time shifted a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, interesting stuff. You're the first person who has ever said to me, I looked around and saw a version of myself. That's definitely a new one. Anybody else experience anything like that? From Manila in the Philippines, Southeast Asia, I'm Art Bell.